are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProntPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Monday edition. I debated what to cover today because there's not much news. There's a little news, and it's mostly international, the Turkey referendum, and I'll briefly go over that. So I decided to look ahead. What can we expect in terms of the Islamic State? Because it's clear that President Trump and his Secretary of State, the number one priority is to defeat the Islamic State. And just to give you an update, we're still battling, or the Iraqis are battling, for control of Mosul. And one of the problems they're encountering is mines are all over the place. And this is a very much take no prisoners. Now, they are taking prisoners. But on the other side, they know that if they give up, their chances, most likely, they're going to be tortured and shot, executed. Because that is what the Islamic State had been doing for all the Shia in Iraq. So there's and that's the problem when you have a civil war that's based on religion. It's do or die, and caught in the middle are innocent civilians. Now, before I get into that, where it stands and what we can expect, we're in the early stages. Actually, that's not fair. We're approaching a new battle in, not in Iraq, but in Syria. And there, the battle will be largely fought right now by the Kurds, although that's somewhat up in the air. And that gets me into the news that's out of Turkey. They had an election Sunday. It was a fairly close election. Roughly 51, a little over 51% voted for and a little over 48% against changing the form of government from a parliamentary system to that of a presidential system, where the president today is Erdogan. And I think most Americans don't follow international affairs, certainly not Turkish affairs. And I bring this up because of the closeness of the election, the population there is very much divided. In the cities, Erdogan lost, but in the country, he didn't. And the reason is he's more of why Turkey has prides itself in having free elections. There have been, and it's a modern state. Erdogan, I think, wants to take it more towards a religious state, and that will be the problem. I don't know that much about Turkey other than it is part of NATO, and that presents a problem because if NATO is going to support the destruction of the Islamic State, a lot, not all, but a lot of that air power has to come from Turkey. We have a big air base there. And that has to be keep in mind because also it's not just the fighter aircraft, but it's also the logistics that you need, shipping in ammunition, arms. And that's a factor to consider because Erdogan has already indicated that because in Syria, the combat up to now has mainly been done by the Kurds. And you have Kurds in Iraq, northern Iraq. You have Kurds in Iran, you have Kurds in Turkey, and that's the problem. The Kurds need their own nation, but neither Iraq nor Iran, and certainly not Turkey, wants to give up territory to have all the Kurds located in one nation. That would be one solution, but I don't think it is a solution, because Turkey under Erdogan won't allow it. And parts of Turkey, the eastern southern parts, is predominantly Kurdish. So the Kurds are a big minority, and there have been occasions when that minority has been suppressed. Dissent has been suppressed. And under this referendum, that really doesn't go into effect until after the 2019 election. Now, keep that in mind. This was a referendum, but it would give the president up to two five-year terms, and because of a loophole, maybe even three. So it could be that Erdogan might take Turkey from being a democratic nation to being one of a dictatorship. The problem he's going to have is upwards of half the nation don't support him. And that's a problem, because in a way, that's somewhat like the United States. It's divided, and we do have swings to the left and the right, and from Democrat to Republican. So you have a deeply divided Turkey, but a dimension to it that you really don't have in the United States, although some would argue this, is the religious one, because that influences people's vote. You know, some want a secular modern state, some want a religious state, a theocracy. So I wanted to make you aware that today we got the results. Generally it was fair, but it was very, very close. Some people couldn't vote because they had a state of emergency after the coup where Erdogan cracked down. So Erdogan is expanding his powers. But it's not clear. Remember, he still has to get elected. Because why he's president now, the real question is, in 2019, what's going to be the vote? Because Erdogan could lose, provided the elections are fair. That's the key thing. And what the problem was is those against the referendum couldn't get much media time, because you have a very much a state-dominated media. So you'll hear more on the news tonight about the referendum. Most Americans simply don't care about it, but you should care, because if we're going to really defeat the Islamic State, we need allies. We have a coalition to defeat the Islamic State of 69 nations. I think it's 68. I might be wrong with the number. Because the Islamic State is spread over many countries. It's not just in Syria and Iraq. That's where most of the fighting has been, and that's where most of these people from other countries have gone. But now that, and we're seeing, and keep in mind, even though the Islamic State, the territory it controls is a lot smaller, keep in mind that a lot of that territory is desert. It's more or less empty. It's only the cities where they've really initially consolidated their power. In Syria and Raqqa is their headquarters or capital, if you will. Mosul is the one that they're still fighting over. And no one knows how long that's going to take. Probably months still. I'm listening to reports and it's up in the air. And part of the problem, and it's a big problem, is the Iraqi government is Shia. And a large portion of the population in Mosul, for example, is Sunni. And the Kurds that are east and the east of Mosul are Sunni Kurds. So there's ill will, lack of trust between the Sunnis and Shia. And that's why I've been saying that the military force that overthrows and destroys the Islamic State, both in Syria and Iraq, afterwards, what they need to do is form the Sunnis into a military force and let them control the area. It's not clear at all that the Iraqis would let them do it. And in the Syria part, it's Sunni Arabs, even though the Kurds are doing much of the fighting and the American Special Operation Forces are providing not only training, but artillery support. The Kurds are not going to be able to, once the battle is over, and we're talking about the battle for Raqqa, and the name, it's Operation Wrath of the Euphrates. Interesting operational title. I don't know who comes up with this. What they're doing right now is try to isolate Raqqa, surround it from the north, the east, and the west, The South will probably be the last part. And then the battle of Raqqa will commence. It's not that you don't have fighting now, but it's to really tighten a ring around Raqqa. And just like Mosul, it's going to be a very violent, bloody engagement. And I say that because they have tunnels. They've had this territory now for several years. They took control in 2014, actually had control. That's when they proclaimed that they were the Islamic State. They've had the control for longer than that. And remember, for those that are new here, the Islamic State originally was in Iraq, and it was Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And U.S. forces in 2007, 2008 destroyed him in the surge. The few that were left were either in prison or fled to Syria, but they built back their forces, and initially were not considered a threat. That's what President Obama considered them, a junior varsity team. Well, they came back with a vengeance in 2014, 2015, and really routed the Iraqi army. And the reason why, what was all the Iraqi, Al-Qaeda forces, think of it as light mobile infantry. They have trucks where they have machine guns mounted on them. Now, they got a lot of equipment when they ran a rampage through much of Iraq that the Sunnis controlled. And they were kicking out and killing Shia as they were doing it. Again, that's the problem with a civil war. There's deep hatred, deep resentment, and very much payback. And now I think you're going to see it some payback on the Iraqis' part, because they're Shia. Even though the United States is supporting the Iraqi forces, as it is supporting the Kurdish forces that are helping in the battle. So Iraq, Syria are going to be in the news. And it's going to be bloody for the next 6 months, maybe longer. We won't necessarily be seeing many television videos for the simple reason this is very, very dangerous, and there are no embedded journalists. Now, there are some journalists there, but it's a very, very dangerous place to be in. And keep in mind, something that you need to keep in mind, you have a lot of snipers on both sides killing each other, long range. And then the fact that Al-Qaeda has had time to scope out the situation. They have built tunnels underneath the city, towns, and can pop up where you least expect it. So it's going to be dangerous in the sense you're going to have to go, once you're in the cities and the towns, go street by street, block by block, building by building. And once you're in a building, you have to clear every room. And many of those people will be innocent. They're trapped. They can't get out, but you go in expecting that they're the enemy, only to find out they're not. So a lot of civilians will be killed, innocent civilians, men, women, and children. Those that have fled already. Some are still fleeing today, but the Islamic State is keeping people from doing that. So they're not letting refugees go. So Mosul, the battle for Mosul is still going on. Now, the government controls major portions of it, north, east, and south. It's the west that's still difficult. Many have escaped from Mosul and gone to Raqqa, and many in Raqqa are going where? They're going to Europe. Keep in mind, there's a civil war going on in Syria. The Assad regime that's on the Mediterranean, the western portion of Syria, Damascus is where it's centered. They have largely won. There's still fighting going on. I put some maps in, and let me just say for new listeners, if you go to my companion blog, prankpops.wordpress.com, underneath my links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows, you'll have photographs, maps, and a lot of videos and a few articles on both of these news stories. And I give that as background information. I don't pretend to be an expert, but I'm calling your attention to the fact that the election referendum in Turkey could have an effect on our effort in defeating the Islamic State. Turkey does not want in any way, shape, or form to support the Kurds. So they're not going to support our allies that are trying to defeat the Islamic State in Raqqa. They want the so-called Free Syrian Army, Sunnis, that they've been supporting and training to be the lead on this. And that poses that difficult situation. We need, to a certain extent, Turkish support. will get support from the Iraqis, but they have their hands full for the simple reason they're still battling for a major city. Mosul is, I believe, the second largest city in Iraq after Baghdad. The other thing to keep in mind is we have this large coalition of nations. It's an impressive list, but the question I had is, I get a sense, I can understand why nations want to be involved. They don't want the Islamic State in their country. But to the extent that they have refugees fleeing both Iraq and Syria, primarily Syria now, unless they can truly vet them, the fear is the Islamic State can establish itself in a country amongst the Muslims, and you could have isolated but deadly attacks in their country. So you can see why many nations are involved in this. But what is the extent of their involvement, especially in terms of military? Now, the United States and the United Kingdom are in Iraq and in Syria. Not many. We're talking under several thousand, but it looks like we're going to be ramping up that number. Unlike President Barack Obama when he was president, Donald Trump, and I agree with Donald Trump here, doesn't tell you what they have planning. In other words, they tell you after the fact what they've done. But the limited number of news stories coming out of both Iraq and Syria, there are definitely U.S. forces and British forces there. In Iraq, the fighters of the Iraqi army and their special forces. In Syria, the major force there are the Kurds. The battle for Raqqa is still in the isolate or surround stage. The real battle, though, will start not too distant future, because the generals have been asking for more troops. And that's usually an indication that the request has gone in. It's just a matter of time before we find out to what extent will the United States, in terms of military forces, be involved in this battle. I think you're definitely going to see special operation forces trying to pick out targets for both our artillery and air power to destroy various missions, mortar sites, artillery. Whether or not they will be involved in the street-by-street clearing, I doubt it. However, if they change their tactics and instead of having just special operators, have conventional military forces, it's a new ballgame. I'm hearing conflicting reports as to what, in terms of number of troops, will be sent to Syria. And again, the question is, how do they get there? They can go through Turkey, they can go through Iraq, they could go through Jordan. But as far as the Syrian government, Assad made it very, very clear any foreigners in his country, military forces, are invaders. Now, he's at war ostensibly with the Islamic State, but the Islamic State, unlike Al-Qaeda al-Nusra, that is another Al-Qaeda affiliate that initially Al-Qaeda Iraq became a part of, but they split several years ago, and they're now rival groups. So you have in Syria a number of rebels against the Assad regime, fighting him in different locations, but because of the advantages of having the Russians in terms of an air force, as well as the Syrian air force has been degraded quite a bit, even before that attack 10 days ago on the Syrian airbase, where about 20 aircraft were destroyed. So I wanted you to be aware that a lot's going on in the world, and you might not think it affects you, but it does. What I fear is the Islamic State will disperse like a rocket going off in every which direction, sending sleepers, if you will, into countries. Mainly Europe is going to have the biggest problem, and into Turkey. And keep in mind that Turkey has supplied chemicals for some of the rebels, al-Nusra being key one, which is al-Qaeda, because they're Sunni. So I can see that Erdogan is a big question mark here. Yes, he's part of NATO, but right now we need him and he needs us. Now, at any time, you could have another coup, and I think that's one thing that's behind this referendum. Erdogan is trying to consolidate his power, and if he should become a dictator, I don't think he will, though. I don't think he will succeed because Turkey has had some history. But that's not prevented military coups. And the suspicion is he wants to bring back the Ottoman Empire, which was a Turkish empire. I doubt he'll succeed in that for a lot of reasons. But if that is his long-term ambition, he's going to have an active role in Syria. Remember, the Turks don't like the Syrian government. They never have. And the reason is Syria has been in the past allied with who? The Soviet Union. And today they're allied with Russia. So there's no love lost between the Turks and the Syrians. And the people of Turkey, the armed forces of Turkey, are part of NATO. They want to be part of the EU. But Erdogan could go his separate ways. We'll see. It depends on to the extent that he will support the coalition to destroy the Islamic State. That's about what I have to say. I'm not an expert on this. I wanted to give you a heads up, though, because I think in the next coming weeks, more and more we're going to have a little bit more visibility as to what precisely is going to be the role of the United States military, Army and Marines in Syria and, to a lesser extent, Iraq. So we're entering a new phase. I think this is the fourth phase, and the fifth will actually be the battle for Raqqa. And it could and most likely will last through the summer. It gets very hot there, and this could be going on into the fall. And it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be bloody. There are going to be a lot of casualties on both sides and not many prisoners taken. Because the Islamic State, they're fanatics, religious fanatics, they're not going to surrender. They'll keep killing or firing until they run out of ammunition, and that is really the key here. They obviously have stockpiles, underground bunkers with a lot of ammunition, but to the extent that that gets used up, what are they going to do? If you don't have ammunition, you can surrender, but I don't think they want to. They'd rather go out fighting, and as far as Kurds are concerned, fine with them. As far as the Shia Iraqis are concerned, fine with them. So the war in the Middle East continues, but don't forget what it's all about. What's the national interest here? That's what you need to say. What is the national interest? Though usually they never define what the national interest is. The president say, well, it's in our national interest. Ladies and gentlemen, it's oil and natural gas. Keep that in mind. There's a lot of oil in Iraq. There's a lot of oil in Iran. There's a lot more oil in Saudi Arabia. And yes, Syria has found some. And to get it to market, you need pipelines. But most importantly, you need stability. You can't have rebels blowing up pipelines or blowing up refineries. It's about oil and gas. Don't let any politician try to divert you. Who controls that oil and natural gas? That's how the Islamic State was financed. That and breaking into banks. And that's what they did. I think that over 40 or 50 banks were broken into. So that combination plus the continuing production of oil. Now, you can't have nations at war or nations in a civil war because not only is this risky for the people producing the oil, it could any time be disruptive, so companies don't want to invest there until you have political stability, which means someone's in charge. And that's what they're fighting about. Who's going to be in charge? Right now, in Syria, I think, ultimately, it'll remain the Assad regime, despite the U.S. effort, both under Obama and Trump, to try to push him out. As long as he has allies, including Russia, China, and Hezbollah, which is a proxy of Iran, he's not going anywhere. He's not going to volunteer. And I remind you, he's an Alawite. Alawite's a minority. And his fear, and I think it's a legitimate fear, is that should he flee, him and his family, revenge would be taken out on the Alawites. So I don't think he's going to leave the country. And remember, his family has controlled this country, 40 years plus? His father before him, and there's a lot of long memories, and people want to get back at the people or the government that killed their relatives, family, relatives, friends. And that's just the nature of a civil war. Over 500,000 have been killed in Syria, and Millions have fled as refugees into Jordan, to Egypt, Saudi Arabia, throughout the Middle East, as well into Europe, as well as into the United States. Tomorrow, I think what I'm going to be doing, assuming you've all completed your taxes, I'm going to give you first an update about what is Trump's tax plan. And I've been puzzled about that. We keep hearing rumors. My suspicion is, first of all, he's not going to go along with the Republican tax plan. I don't think he likes the border tax. I hate the border tax, the border adjustment. Now, some of the rumors I'm hearing that he's being advised, I don't know who the consultant is, but we'll learn more tomorrow, to put in a value-added tax. Now, I'm against the value-added tax. Let me make clear. Europe has both income taxes and value-added tax. The history of the value-added tax is it initially goes in low, and before you know it, it's much higher, 20% plus. That's the worst of both worlds. Now, the people pushing this, the argument is, we need to be like them. No, we don't. What we need to do is design a tax system for this century, not the last century, this century. But the rumors I'm hearing is he wants to do away with the payroll tax. Well, so do I. There's agreement there. I want to take it one big step further. I want to get actually a giant step further. Not a big step, not a huge step, a giant step. We got to be bold. Replace all federal taxes with one tax. And that's the fair tax, a broad-based consumption tax. So I'll be getting back to that. But I wanted to give you more information as to what's going to happen. I don't think Donald Trump knows. He had two tax plans when he was running. The one that I think he'll probably happen is reduce the, and everyone is in favor of this, except for the Democrats, is reduce the corporate rate to 15%. I'm all for that, but why stop at 15%? Go down to zero, and that's my point. But a lot of people favor going to a much lower corporate rate, and the reason to do that, and I'll get into it in more detail tomorrow, who pays the taxes? I always need to remind people, who pays the taxes? You pay the taxes. So when corporate taxes go down, eventually you see declines in prices. So don't fall for the Democratic nonsense that this is just for the rich or the corporations. It isn't. It's for you. You need to cut taxes on everybody. And the biggest tax that the American people pay, the majority of the American people, is not the income tax. Even though I know you're filling out your forms and all, your biggest tax that you pay in its entirety is Social Security tax. Now, I'll get into this a little bit more. When Social Security was originally passed, they try to fool people into thinking, well, you pay half and your employer pays half. No, no, no. You pay the entire thing. Because when someone hires you, they know that they have to pay your half. So instead of giving you that money at a higher pay, they say, okay. Let me just say this before I wrap it up. When you're hired, most companies have a benefit package. There's certain things besides your salary that go into total compensation, like health care benefits, retirement plan, and yes, the contribution of the employer for Social Security. That is all considered part of your compensation package. So you, in effect, pay all your Social Security taxes. And Donald Trump, the persistent rumor, and this is for many months, is he wants to do away with it. Now, I've been saying that's one of the big benefits of a one single tax system that's broadly based. In other words, taxes would be paid for any new good and service you purchase. I don't want to say any more, but I want to thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.